Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on the 25th of July. Coming up, a grandmother is calling for CCTV to be installed on a road after having three cars written off in crashes. And preparations are underway at a Kent venue which is screening the Women's Euros final this weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a takeaway in Margate has received a one-star food hygiene rating after inspectors found food defrosting in bin bags. They visited Simla Brasserie in May. The site has hundreds of five-star ratings on food delivery app Just Eat, but officers found equipment covered in grease and mould as well as food bacteria risks. Our reporter James Pallant has been taking a look at the report.
Inspectors found the kitchen at Simla Brasserie in Cliftonville in a shocking state. Pictures show food, dust and grime encrusted onto storage containers, appliances and light switches. In one photo, a filthy ice cream tub is shown on a stovetop filled with an unidentified white substance. Porridge? Mashed potato? Some sort of batter? I really don't know.
So James, what other issues were raised by inspectors?
During the inspection on May 22nd, officers from Thanet District Council also observed unsafe food practices, such as cooked rice and a bucket of raw chicken being stored at room temperature in the kitchen, and raw frozen prawns stored directly above ready-to-eat foods. The inspection report warned this may result in cross-contamination.
And has action been taken to improve the situation?
Inspectors returned to the North Down Road restaurant on June 27th to find most of the required cleaning and repair work had been completed. The officer wrote, quote, "I am now satisfied that all required works have been carried out to an adequate standard."
Thanks, James.
Kent Online News.
A convicted sex offender from Dartford has been found guilty of non-recent crimes against a child. Paul Perry was found guilty of three counts of gross indecency and one of indecent assault that took place more than 35 years ago. The 58-year-old from Hilltop Gardens will spend a year in prison and then another on licence. Police have released a picture of two people they're hunting after a man was shot in the face by a catapult near Maidstone. He had to be treated in hospital for a deep cut following the attack on Leeds Road in Langley in May. You can see the images in the story on our website or Kent Online on socials. A Sheppey woman is demanding for CCTV to be installed, the site of an accident black spot that has seen three cars written off. Amanda Green has had to pay £12,000 in damages to her vehicles while they've been parked in Marine Parade in Sheerness. She says police have been unable to prosecute those responsible due to a lack of evidence.
I've got to the stage really where enough's enough. I've had three cars written off either by uninsured or uninsured and drunk drivers in the last few years when my car has been perfectly legally parked. The last occasion was something was written off across there in a disabled bay. And then about a week ago, my car and two other cars had their tyres punctured. And there's been a whole litany of other car thefts, damage, accidents, and I'm just absolutely fed up with nobody taking any action, really. It's just gone on for far too long. People have been talking about it, councils, etc. So I've really just got to that point where I'm thinking, really, that there's going to be a lot of support from the local community. I've spoken to people informally, and I've now decided that I want to take that action. I'm going to need a lot of help to get that campaign. I need a lot of facts. I'm hoping for help to get some of those facts to back up the argument. But I think with police requests from locally over the last few years, if for personal CCTV, doorbell cameras, that kind of thing, there's a huge argument to make this place safer, cleaner, and just a more relaxing place, because there are so many amazing, amazing people that live here. It's a really friendly place. The children here get a bit of a bad reputation, but they're so well-mannered. And there's so much to be said for living here. It's a beautiful place to live. And the addition of some CCTV, I really strongly believe, would just make it a lot cleaner, a lot safer, and help the authorities cut crime levels, really.
Sheerness Town Council have confirmed they're bringing in three new Hawkeye mobile cameras to the town. However, none of them will be in Marine Parade to start off with. We've also had this statement from Swale Council.
There are already cameras along Marine Parade, which we use to help keep our residents safe, covering both the ship on shore and near Barton's Point. We worked closely with Sheerness Town Council and Kent Police to identify locations that would benefit most from additional CCTV. The new pan-tilt and zoom Zoom camera on Richmond Street will give our control room a 360 view of the area, helping deter crime and antisocial behaviour, catch fly tippers and assist police investigations.
Kent Online News.
A man's been flown to a London hospital after a lorry overturned on the M2. Emergency services were called yesterday lunchtime. The lorry had left the eastbound carriageway between Junction 2 for Rochester and 3 for Chatham. The victim suffered injuries to his shoulder, chest and leg, but they're not thought to be life-threatening. A parish councillor in Kent is speaking to police after his large dog reportedly attacked a puppy in Strood. Andrew Milsom, who represents Frinsbury Extra, had been at Broomhill Park when it's alleged his dog bit through the harness of a pug, injuring the owner's hand in the process. Investigations are now underway to find the pug's owner who left the scene. Officers are reviewing CCTV. Now, patients across Kent are facing disruption as a strike by resident doctors starts today. Medics, who were previously known as junior doctors, are walking out for 5 days in a row over pay. We're being urged to think carefully about which health service we use during the industrial action. Kate Langford is the Chief Medical Officer of NHS Kent and Medway. She spoke to Gabriel Morris from KMTV yesterday evening.
Our role is to make sure the system is coordinated in its preparation, and all of our hospitals and healthcare facilities are sadly very practiced at this now, because we've had a lot of strikes, unfortunately. And so what we've done is we've put in place the plans that we know have worked to keep people safe in previous strikes, and that's all in place now. We've checked in with everyone today and we're confident that we can run the emergency services tomorrow.
But what about some of the routine procedures? Because I know this strike action is a little bit different to usual. Could there be last minute cancellations tomorrow for someone who had a routine appointment or a routine operation, for example?
So unfortunately, we never know till the day of the strike how many of the doctors will choose not to come to work. So it is possible, but we are doing everything we can to keep as many routine appointments going. Now, if your routine appointment is in general practice, you can assume it's definitely going ahead. And if it's in hospital, unless you've heard otherwise, you can also assume it's going ahead. But I do have to say, we will not know until the day quite how many doctors will choose not to work. So I can't promise there won't be adjustments on the day.
And if there is a cancellation, what do patients need to do if that does happen tomorrow?
So first of all, I want to say, if your appointment does get cancelled tomorrow, I'm really sorry that that has happened. And I don't underestimate how distressing that is for everybody. Any hospital that has to cancel an appointment automatically keeps your name and slots you back in to the next available appointment. So you'll be prioritised for getting slotted back in. So you don't need to do anything active about that. They will keep your name and make sure you are offered a replacement appointment.
And will A&E look any different tomorrow? Could we expect longer waiting times, or should it be business as usual tomorrow?
So we prioritise areas like A&E for business as usual. What I would say, though, is the less urgent people in A&E might have to wait longer than usual. And I would really, really encourage people to help us by not going to A&E unless it really is something urgent, like a stroke or a heart attack, or you've had a bad accident. Wherever possible, I'd say to people, please contact NHS 111 first, because they will give you the best advice as to alternative places you might go, like an urgent treatment centre or perhaps a community pharmacist. And that will help protect the emergency areas in A&E for the people who are sickest and need it most. So I would definitely say to people, please try and avoid A&E if you can. If it's a really pressing need, they will be there for you.
The British Medical Association says real-time wages for resident doctors have fallen by around a fifth since 2008. They're calling for a 26% pay restoration. The Health Secretary says he can't promise that, but they have committed to progress to improve doctors' working lives. Let's hear now from Ashford MP Sojan Joseph, who used to be an NHS nurse. I spoke to him earlier about the impact of the industrial action.
Government has been talking to the NHS, and patients will be able to see their doctors. They should be able to continue whatever the treatment has been planned. So West Treating has made it clear that NHS not to cancel any scheduled operations, So yes, it will have there are concerns about patient safety. We know from the past experience, 1.5 million appointments were rescheduled when the doctors went on strike previously. So there are concerns about patient safety. These strikes are going to inflict huge damage to our NHS. The patients will be able to see their doctors. GPs are working as usual. Emergency departments are working as usual, but there will be some disruptions.
As you said, we saw from the last round of strikes, it had a horrible knock-on impact. This is going to do nothing to really clear that backlog. People are already waiting to see specialists and to get treatment. This is really not going to help.
Absolutely. When the Labour government was elected, West Riding met with the striking doctors on the first week, and the strike was ended, and we were recovering for the past 1 year to clearing up all those backlog. This is from the strike and also from previous backlogs the NHS had and that we inherited. We are clearing that. It's unfortunate that we're going to back into that situation again.
Now, I know that you've a history in the NHS. I think you worked for 20 years, I think, in the NHS. From that side of things, the doctors, will they want to strike? Is it something that they want to do, or for them, is this really a last resort?
I am disappointed to see doctors are choosing to strike again. The public did support last year when they went on strike because considering their pay to other professions was relatively low. They did not receive a decent pay rise over the last 10, 15 years. So public was in support of their strike last time along. But as you said, I worked in the NHS. The nurses, the occupational therapists, pharmacists, psychologists, consultants, healthcare assistants. So the NHS is made out of many professions, and they all work hard. They all work shifts, 24-hour shifts. Nurses work weekends, nights. So it's not just the doctors work hard through these difficult conditions. So it is disappointing to see as a previous NHS worker that doctors choosing this path when other professionals are accepting or not going to strike.
The strike will continue until 7 a.m. next Wednesday.
Kent Online News.
A seafront bar in Herne Bay will now be allowed to stay open until 3 a.m. on weekdays. Bosses at Captain Jack say it's so they have longer to disperse their customers at the end of the night. Neighbours voiced fears about antisocial behaviour and an increase in crime, but council have approved the application. Two Kent MPs are backing a campaign for a new non-selective secondary school in Cranbrook. Parents say some children are having to travel up to 12 miles away, meaning long bus journeys, and it stops them from taking part in after-school clubs. MP for the Weald of Kent, Katie Lamb, and Tunbridge Wells, Mike Martin, have met with the Department for Education, who say pupil journey times are within national guidance. Campaigners say they can prove there's a desperate need for a new school, and they will keep fighting. New documents reveal Kent could be carved up into three new council areas under the government's devolution plans. The county council say their preferred option would be for unitary authorities covering the north, west, and east of the county. The idea is to streamline public services by getting rid of the two-tier system.
Kent Online News.
A Herne Bay man has thanked a stranger who spotted his cancerous mole in the middle of a multi-storey car park. Chris Long was approached by the dermatologist who raised concerns about a mole on his calf, which turned out to be a melanoma. He since had surgery to remove it and says without intervention, it could have continued to spread. A Kent homelessness charity has launched a fundraiser to replace one of their industrial washing machines. Bosses at Catching Live say clean clothes help people to maintain their dignity and well-being. well-being and the service is a vital part of their day centre. They're trying to raise £3,000. A building in Canterbury that dates back to the 12th century could be turned into holiday lets. Eastbridge Hospital of St Thomas the Martyr was once used as a place of refuge for pilgrims travelling to the shrine of Archbishop Thomas Becket. It was then turned into almshouse accommodation, but bosses say it's no longer suitable. The charity that owns the site has submitted an application for 5 holiday apartments and are hoping to create new accommodation for residents elsewhere. Now, Kent Online reporter Cara Simmons has visited one of Kent's hidden gems. She's been to the Secret Cinema Club in Cranbrook that's run by a group of film-loving residents. They come together to watch hand-picked films with themed cocktails and sweets in the makeshift cinema tucked away next to a church in Stone Street. Toby Davis is one of the organisers. He and Cara sat down for a chat.
I think the idea of doing it is actually comes from watching, I think, films and TVs where they have these kind of cinemas. You know, if you look at things like, I don't know, Gilmore Girls and all those kind of things, those lovely little community cinemas with, you know, fairy lights and pulled together with chairs you can find and in a space where people can just rock up. And that's really what I wanted to do that kind of thing. And it turns out you can.
Did you find that there was a lot of people in the community as well that sort of desperately wanted something like this? And or because I know that there are sort of local cinemas nearby, but really there isn't something for the community?
I think anything community is good. And I think, you know, Cranmer's got a lot of lovely independent shops, got cafes and bars, but it doesn't have things during the evening so much if it's not a meal out. So there are cinemas in, there's a beautiful cinema in Hawkers, which I love or go to a lot. But, and there's also multiplexes you can drive to, but there's something that isn't, you know, quite often when you go to those cinemas, you're still very alone. I think what I wanted to create was the feeling of being with people watching a film, because that's really how they should be viewed. I think a film is there to be seen in company.
I think as well nowadays with streaming platforms like what we talked about, I find that sometimes I see a film advertised and I think, oh, I'll just wait until that comes out on the platform. I can't be bothered to watch it.
Yeah, and that is a huge problem for film generally, is that the loss of lots of time in the cinema for a film, and also of its kind of secondary life on physical media, with, you know, DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, has kind of gone. So people just tend to wait until, even, you know, obviously you can rent it on those platforms. People will just say eventually it'll just appear on one of the 15 things that I pay for. So it does hurt it, and then you tend to watch it and it's a bit, it's not that cinematic experience. Now I'm not saying that we've got, you know, surround sound and but it is a big screen and it's people together watching it, and that is the point. So I think you get to see a film the way it was intended, and I think streaming isn't that. For all of the pluses, it's not. I don't think it serves cinema well.
It happens on the last Sunday of the month. Tickets can be bought on their website.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham will play their last pre-season friendly this weekend. They're travelling to take on Dartford following a disappointing 2-1 loss to Ebbsfleet United during the week. Manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke after that match.
I think when we missed the second open goal, one of the fans shouted, "Welcome to Gillingham, Gareth." So I know all about Gillingham. I have a brilliant set of lads. I really do. They're all bought in. I've got great owners and staff around them, and a great youth team coming up. This club is set up for success. I'm lucky because I think I'm going to be the one who's in charge when this finally cracks, because it's a big club. Just been sleeping for so long, and I intend to wake it up with a bang, and hopefully we can start the season well. But I'm in this for the long term. I like the journey that Brad and Shannon have plotted out for me, and the opportunity they've given me. You know, the budget's healthy, the club's in a good place. Just ready for takeoff.
It's their final test before they face Accrington Stanley on August the 2nd for their first League Two game. Kickoff tomorrow is at 3. Staying with football, and preparations are underway across Kent as England's women get ready to play in the Euros final. Maidstone's Alessia Russo is part of the squad that will take on Spain in the decider on Sunday. The match will be shown on the big screen at the Goods Yard at Folkestone Harbour. I've been chatting to James Davis, who's the marketing manager.
We'll be showing it on the Harbour screen in the Goods Yard. This will be the third women's final we've shown in 4 years, which is great. Last time we showed the women's final, we had a queue stretching from the Goods Yard up to the lighthouse, which was quite impressive. So yeah, we have a lot of demand for it down here.
Do you find that people come from out of town? I mean, obviously the Goods Yard is such a picturesque venue, so people are coming to watch the football, but also to watch it in such an amazing venue.
Yeah, I mean, people just love the Good Yard. It's great. It's got independent food and drink traders, so there's something in there for everyone. So the screen is massive, so and it's not no, there's nothing like being in a crowd in a dramatic football match.
And what do you, I mean, as you say, this is, not the first live Lionesses football game that you've hosted. What do you find the atmosphere is like? Is there singing, chanting, people shouting at the screen? Does it get pretty leery?
Yeah, I mean it's really nice. It's a different atmosphere completely to the men's game. It's much more family friendly. Lots of cheering, lots of clapping, and yeah, everyone's just in really high spirits, especially for a final.
Now I know that for the last Lionesses game, they allowed traders to stay open that little bit later because it was a moment of cultural significance. Is that the same again for you guys this weekend? Are you going to be allowed to stay open a little bit later for the Lionesses game?
Yeah, so the Good Yard will reopen its gates at 3:30 on Sunday, ready for kickoff at 5, and the traders will be open the whole time, even if they do go to extra time or penalties.
So people don't have to worry. If it does push into that extra time, everything will still be open and operating.
Yeah, everyone will still be open and hopefully providing some drink for celebrations.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about the impact that major events like this have for the traders, for the local area in general? I mean, it must provide just such a boost for the local economy.
Yeah, I mean the Good Yard, especially for the football. That's how it started, really. In the Good Yard was for a football tournament in 2018, I believe. And ever since then, it's become one of the best places to watch England football in Kent, really.
It is a ticketed event that's sold out ahead of the Lionesses' last Euros final. Kickoff is at 5. That's all from us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.